Alfred Lord Tennyson, let's go back there, in 1850 said, "Ring out, wild bells, to the wild sky. Ring out the old and ring in the new. Ring out the false and ring in the true." Yeah. And it seems to me like I like to tune in, and you probably do too, to what's going on in the bigger picture. You know, what's going on in the consciousness, the collective. And for me, it feels like we're moving to less tolerance for what is false and more demand for what is true. Do you feel that shift? Here's a few examples. In 2002, remember way back in that year, in 2002, Melissa Roth made history. She was the first person in 94 years to participate in the Miss England pageant wearing no makeup. And she inspired girls and women all over the world to let their bare-faced beauty show. Yeah. Isn't that gorgeous? Yeah. Also, I've been noticing a lot of the TV programs and the movies that seem the most popular have real, relatable people as their characters, like folks in our daily lives, like you and me, right? Not, as Eckhart Tolle says so much, glossy people from glossy magazines. And I just read an article the other day that asserted that our fascination with celebrity narcissism is beginning to erode. Yeah, and we're just not that interested anymore in supporting it. And so it's beginning to fall away. The author gave some really compelling examples of that. So those are just a few of the things that it seems in our culture and in the energy underneath that that is happening. So I hope you'll join with me in affirming that in 2023, it is an authentic year, a year of honesty, a year of solid groundedness and centeredness, a sense of trust among people, a time of integrity. Can we get into that? Does that sound good? All right. Jesus said this about you. I don't know if you knew Jesus was talking about you. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" he asks. "It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Jesus could be had a flair for the dramatic sometimes, I think. But what is this? What is he talking about being the salt of the earth? We say that about people, right? She's the salt of the earth, or they're the salt of the earth, or they're really down to earth. And this is really, I believe, what he's talking about is embrace your humanity. You are the salt of the earth. Don't let your saltiness lose its flavor. You know, so there's some essence of you. There's some natural, unique soul expression that is yours and yours alone. Don't let the seasoning go out. Preserve that which is true to self, that which is yours to express and to be in the world. And so when we think about that, you might consider, well, what makes me salty? You know, what is it about me that is a part of what I bring forth that is unique, that is my sort of seasoning, if you will, that part of me? And, you know, we could think of, too, this earth-based idea of being earthy, being grounded to earth. What makes my senses come alive? What are those things that bring forth the idea of real beauty to me that I can participate in? This is all a part of that kind of salt of the earth connection to the earth. Thinking about your body, what do you appreciate about your body? And have you told your body lately about that thing that you appreciate, you know? And so it's that kind of thing that helps connect us to earth, connect us to ourselves, embrace the gift of humanity that we are. So I also like this time of year to kind of listen to several different astrologists to see what are they forecasting for 2023. And for those of you who are thinking, oh my gosh, they're talking about astrology in church, that seems so out of the box. Well, you know, that's what the wise men were. They were astrologers. They were following the star. They were from far away, and they were following the stars, and then they followed the star to get to the birth, right? So there's some sense of intuitive knowing and also some science to this, of knowing a little bit about where we're headed. And one of the themes that came forth is that this is a year for the elements of earth and water. And so then the salt of the earth idea comes back around, right? One way we could interpret that is that this would be a year for us to be really grounded and centered, you know, to really feel our feet on the earth, to really feel that sense of, yes, I am in a body. I'm a spiritual being and I am in a body. And I have this gift that is my spiritual embodiment and things that I can do that if I were just flying around as a free spirit, I wouldn't be able to do, right? To touch, to experience, to sense all of those gifts that we have as human beings, to really appreciate that, to feel that centering, that grounding, and that connection to Mother Earth. Because when we feel that connection, we take better care. Oddly enough, we walk a lot more lightly when we feel that connection, if you know what I mean. So there's all of that kind of wrapped in the idea of a lot of earth energy. And then there's a lot of water energy that's being forecasted for 2023. And water energy, one way to interpret that is emotions, right? Feelings, that there's a lot of feeling energy. And so what we can do with that and the flow of energy, the flow of the divine, is to ask ourselves questions like, you know, what am I feeling right now? What am I needing? Am I honestly expressing what it is that is true for me right now? So bringing that kind of that honesty to our emotional selves and expressing from that place, expressing our appreciation, welcoming laughter, welcoming joy, all of that, being real with what comes up for us and allowing ourselves to process through it, to flow through it like water. And to be an offering of water to others when they are in difficult places, or at times be that presencing of earth, right? A nice big bear hug for your friend who's going through something difficult, or a smile, or whatever it is that we can do to express through these magnificent bodies that we have. So Jesus follows the salt of the earth with this verse about you. You are the light of the world. And goes on to say, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Sometimes it says bushel basket, but this translation is bowl, which I think is a little safer. I've always worried about the bushel basket. Instead, though, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light before others shine before others so that they may see. So a lot of times I think we think we have to hide our lights or play small because it's somehow pleasing the people around us or making them feel bigger, you know, all those ego games that we play, right? But it's not egotistical to say you are magnificent. It's not egotistical to say you have come to shine this divine light. It's actually a humble thing to recognize the gift we've been given, that we have this divine essence inside of us, and we've come here to be it, to be that light, to be that love, to be that joy upon the earth, to help tip the scales, to make the change, to awaken humanity, all those things that happen out of us stepping into the fullness of who we are, the potential for which we have come to fulfill. That's the light about shining the light. And it benefits no one to hide it. And so wherever you find in your life that you may be playing small or talking yourself down or saying I can't or, you know, all those kind of ways that we limit ourselves, this is your year to leave that behind, to leave the ways of being small, the ways of covering up, the ways of hiding behind. Because you know what? The world needs you, needs your light, needs your love, needs our light and love, right? So by participating together in a community, we bring that forth as well. I think in a community, we really discover our truest selves. You know, it's in community that we are working side by side with one another, sometimes in a beautiful kind of harmony, sometimes, you know, like a little bit of this. And all of that is there for our growth. All of that is available to us so that we can personally and spiritually grow into who we have come here to be engaged in ways that maybe we haven't before, to try new things. All of that is a part of what a community, a true community, I think, offers for us. And so there was a woman who had not returned to her community after a very long absence. She had gotten to this so accustomed to the convenience of just watching the Sunday services online. And her couch was really comfortable, and she could have snacks and drinks and maybe dogs or cats on her lap. So, you know, it was pretty cushy. Anybody relate to this? Anybody relate to this? But, you know, here's the thing. No one could see her or hear her. No one could really connect with her or know her very well. Some didn't even remember her anymore. And she wasn't able to give her gifts and wasn't able to feel that connection. So there was a growing distance that she was maybe vaguely familiar with. But it was just starting now that she was remembering a little bit of what it felt like to be in her spiritual home. And there was a little bit of an energy that was stirring, yet she thought about her cushy couch and all the things that she had at home out of convenience. And so she was kind of in this place. And just about then, a knock came on her door. And it was her pastor. And she knew why he was there. And he was standing outside looking, noticing that she had this big, beautiful fire going, and she was sitting in her living room alone when she got up to open the door. And so she invites him in, and he sits down on a comfortable chair next to her, and they're near the fire. And he says nothing. And she's just looking at him, expecting him to say something, and he just doesn't say anything. He just sits down and he looks at the fire. And so they kind of fall into this quiet contemplation together, beholding the fire. And after a while, he goes and he picks up the fire tongs and he takes one of the embers out of the fire and he puts it aside on the hearth. And then he goes and sits back down. She's very curious. So they watch the fire some more. But they both start to notice that what happens with that ember that has been set aside on the hearth is it starts to grow cold. And then the one final glow of orange, and then it's completely dark, and it's gone cold and dead. And so they're sitting there watching that. And after a while, suddenly the pastor looks at his watch as if he's got to be somewhere. And he takes the tongs and he puts that ember back in the fire, and when it's near the other embers, once again, it lights up, it gets warm. And as he goes to leave, she's now got tears running down her cheeks, and she says, "Pastor, thank you so much for your visit. I will be back in person at church next Sunday. And that was the most fiery sermon I've ever experienced." So not to put too fine a point on it, but I might come knocking on your door. Because in 2023, I want to see these seats full to the brim. I want us to have the problem in staff meetings where we're saying, do we need to bring up the rest of the chairs from the root cellar? Do we need to put another tent out on the lawn? Because it is packed. It is humming on Sundays at Unity. And that's not because I think numbers are important. It's because community is so important. You need your spiritual community as much as we need you. Or maybe we need you more than you need your spiritual community. I don't know. But I know we need each other. And I know when we come together, it offers us a place of service. It offers us a place of support. It offers us a place of opportunity. It offers us a place of growth. And when you are not here, that saltiness of the earth, that saltiness has lost some of its flavor. Wow, I didn't really expect to go here. But I have to say, when I was looking at the camera on Christmas Eve and I saw so many empty seats, I felt grief. And I know it's happening all over. It's happening in ministries all over. It's happening in businesses all over. That we've fallen into a new habit. But I don't think it's a good one for us for the long haul. We are social beings. We are meant to gather in community, and it matters. So I hope we will. I hope this will be the year that we really remember, that we step back in and we go, oh yeah, I know how that felt. I remember now, because a lot of people have told me that who have come back, like, wow, I was so comfortable at home, and then I came in here and I went, oh, it's a totally different experience when you're here in person. So, wow, enough said, huh? On that topic, at least for now. But you know, our connection is nurtured here. Our connection and a sense of belonging. What happens in community is so many different things, right? We remember we are divine beings. We acknowledge the essence of who we are. I hope you come through these doors and you go, oh, right. Now I remember who I am. I'm reminded again and again and again. And hopefully you are lifted up and inspired in such a way that you can go out into the world and do the things that ought to be done by you in a way that has that essence of a little more light, a little more love, a little more peace, a little more joy that you're spreading out throughout the world. And so this could be a place to refill your cup, so that your overflowing cup can be shared with the world, because the world needs your overflowing cup of joy, of love, of peace, of everything that you have to give in your own unique way. So in addition to our commitment, our recommitment to our community here, we will have our own individual guiding light, our North Star, to guide us through the new year. That's what the White Stone Ceremony is all about. In Jesus' time, Roman prisoners were given a white stone, and it was to signify that they were free now, that they were out of bondage, that they were given a clean slate to start over. And that's part of what the white stone originates from. And so last night, some of you were part of the burning bowl, and we let go of whatever it is that was burdening us, not serving us anymore, those lack thoughts, limitation, beliefs, habits, whatever it was, we cleared the decks, right? And so now there's this clean slate for us. There's this white stone. How many of you need a white stone? Anybody need a white stone and a pen? Yeah. Great. I'm glad you have one. If you don't have one, if you'd raise your hand, our ushers will bring you a stone and a pen. We might need to share some pens. I'm not sure where we're at in our supply. But they work really well with that felt tip pen, so we have some of those. Pencils work too. Okay, very good. Thank you. So if you came with a preconceived idea of what your word is, I'm going to encourage you to let that go for now. And let's see what Spirit brings as we come in collective process together and visualization together. So this ceremony is biblically rooted. It springs forth from the Revelation 2:17 verse that says, "Let anyone who has an ear listen to what Spirit is saying to the churches." To everyone who conquers, or another word for that is overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, some of that hidden spiritual food, and I will give a white stone. And on that white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. So we are overcoming our challenges by carrying the blessings and the lessons and the wisdom that we've gained this far in our lives, and returning then to Spirit for that hidden manna, for that spiritual food, for that sustenance that will allow us to stay the course in a new year. On our white stone, we'll write down a single word that comes to us. Could be a spiritual quality, an intention, might even be a new name, as the scripture indicates. But whatever it is, it will become then our single word that is a guiding word for us throughout the new year. So I want to invite you to get into a meditative space, maybe to close your eyes if that's comfortable for you, to drop into your heart, and just to allow a few moments of connecting once again with the presence. And if you find that your attention goes to your mind, maybe dropping back down into your heart once again, and just opening, allowing divine ideas to begin to stir. And we have plenty of time for your word to emerge, so allow spirit to take its time. This is a knowing of thyself, a calling forth of an aspect of self that wants to be known more fully. So we're listening and trusting. A delightful surprise may await you. God promises, I will give you a white stone, and on that white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. This is your possibly secret pact with the divine.
Today, as I stand open to divinity in me, I hear my name, a name chosen by Spirit and then whispered in my heart. From this day I am awakened to the nature God intended with my name. I write this name on a white stone, a stone that means both purity and truth. In her wisdom, silent strength, my name expresses God in me. On this white stone, on this white stone, I write my name.
So you may want to hold your stone at this point if you haven't already taken it up in your hand, and just to feel the weight and the texture of the stone. And allow the word that is your word from spirit to emerge, to come forth into the light of day. That quality or way of being that you might feel or see within your own heart, or it might just write right through your hand onto the stone. When you are ready, I invite you to let that word emerge and to write it down.
I write this name on a white stone, a stone that means both purity and truth. In her wisdom, silent strength, my name expresses God in me. On this white stone, on this white stone, I write my name.
in the scripture where it says that this is just for you. And so let it be whatever you feel guided. If you want to share, you can share it. If you don't, keeping it close, at least for now, might be what you wish to do. Keeping it tactile and visible throughout the year is really a big piece of interacting with this North Star that you have for 2023. So having it on an altar or wherever you're going to frequently see it, if you maybe commute a lot, maybe in the car or wherever that may be for you, that is a touchstone, literally a touchstone for you that reminds you again and again of what is guiding you this year. It'll guide you in making decisions. It can be something that you use for discernment. If your word is understanding, maybe it'll be a trigger to say, oh, let me listen here for the deeper lesson. Let me see if I can understand what's going on. Let me ask a clarifying question, whatever it may be. Maybe your word is love, and so it could be about how could I be love in this moment? How can I love myself more fully? How can I love the person before me more fully? Whatever it is, it can help us make decisions. It can help guide us. It can help uplift us. So as you embody this spiritual quality in this year, new year, there's that authentic brilliance that comes with it, being both the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And how to let God help you. Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder of Unity, really focuses on the new in the new year, in this new year message. She says, oh, ready is the glory to come into your life that you need only turn your face upon it to behold the angel of the new. Your home and your life and all therein will be transformed through renewed purpose, thought, and word. So as you embody and take in this essence that I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of the world, let's let our lights shine brightly and particularly coming together in community so that they can shine more brightly. I invite you to say this affirmation with me now and to really allow that word that you're holding. Maybe just before we say our affirmation, let's take a moment just to let that word really seep in and maybe even say to yourself, I am, and that quality that has come. And now let's say our together affirmation. I am the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In a brilliant new year. Happy New Year, everyone.